Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for a time and opportunity to hear of you and you to speak to us. And may everyone here know you better. Speak to us through your Holy Spirit, through your word. Within your name we pray. Amen. Okay, please turn to Luke chapter 4. Luke 4. We've sort of mentioned this before. Verse 1, please. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led around by the Spirit in the wilderness. I've said before, it's been said that the real proof of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is trouble or temptation, and here it certainly is true. Satan knows when you've changed owners also, so he won't be too happy about that. There's not a lot to say about this. Is the Holy Spirit, well, there is one weird thing. This is the, it's here or in another one of the Gospels. One of the ways that you can tell when someone is demonized is, and just in the flesh, but one of the demonized things, people will be driven. They're driven. And the Holy Spirit doesn't do that. The Holy Spirit invites, pulls, and, you know, that is much more gentle. But this one place in Scripture, it actually says, and he was driven into the wilderness. I don't remember if it's, I think it's Mark, but, and the word in the Greek is actually driven. Real different for the Holy Spirit. We've got to go, well, okay, it says it, and it's there, it's true. But normally the Holy Spirit does not invite. As you know, when you're in the middle of a temptation, when you think you're supposed to head, God doesn't drive you that direction. He invites you to come. He tells you quietly. The still small voice thing, and it really is true. Let's go on down to, as I said, we're not looking at all the scriptures on the Holy Spirit, but almost all of them that are in the Gospels. Again, Luke, and let's go to chapter 11. And we'll read verse 13. And of course, he's speaking of people, and then he says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Now, first, it appears that your heavenly Father would want you to have the Holy Spirit. It just kind of sounds that way. Your heavenly Father considers this a good gift. Now, I bring this up because I said the other night, God wants you to have the Holy Spirit, and here we have it. And I'm here to tell you, you need the Holy Spirit. You do. It is something you should desire. If you have not been baptized, I'm serious, if you've not been baptized in the Holy Spirit, it's something you need to pray about. Not just run up and get all emotional or whatever, but I'm serious. You need to go, God, I really want this gift, and desire it. Now, the other thing is it is a gift. Now, we see that there are gifts of the Holy Spirit, but the gift is the Holy Spirit. And then he comes forth, manifests himself in what we call gifts. But the Holy Spirit is the gift. And notice that in that verse, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who do not ask him is not there. It's asking him. And sometimes it's asking him a lot. But when the asking, please begin to learn to receive. It's mine. He wants to give it to you. And the word, and I bring that up because your Heavenly Father will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. That is in the present active participle. Now, what that means in regular lingo is, the word is keep on asking, keep on asking, keep on asking, keep on asking. Okay? It's a continual action thing. And Now, the gift, as we talked about the other night, I believe the baptism in the Holy Spirit is an initial gift. Okay? It's the one-time thing. You keep on asking until you get it. I've seen people that struggled with receiving it. Now, the gift was there, but they struggled with receiving it. But once you are baptized, it says, remember, we'll get to this verse eventually, but it says, keep being filled. Keep being filled. Keep on. You don't stop asking and being filled. Now, there's another thing with that scripture, I think, is that it is the Holy Spirit. The more of the world's thoughts and stuff that you've got in you, the less of the Holy Spirit that you're going to have. That's it. And we need to be clean vessels. We need to be. Folks, we are not here. This group is not here to get dressed up and look a little bit better. I don't believe that of you. I think with just things that have happened in the last two or three semesters, you've got to go, my goodness, this is kind of serious. And while being loved on by Father is good, and loving Father is good, and seeing new things in His law is good, and can get you excited, let me tell you something. This is deadly business that we're involved in here. It really is. This is very serious for the souls of men. Okay? Of mankind. anything? Miss Davis, anything on that? Any questions on what we've talked about so far? Comments? Yes, ma'am.
Comment. It was just interesting how it says it's a good gift from Father, and we see that good gift leads you into trouble and trial. So the trials and troubles can be good gifts from Father too, because they're cleansing you of that. Sounds like that's the purification. And it was just interesting train of thought that Father took me through.
Yeah. It's true.
We were allowed to go our own way, and you just went that way, I mean, you'd be full of just garbage. You would be. And the Holy Spirit couldn't come and stay there. There wouldn't be His life and His ability to work. So much unbelief. You would be so full of so much unbelief. And again, that's one of the things we started talking about last semester. All right. Anyone else? Yes, ma'am.
You said, as you ask for the Holy Spirit, realize that you must learn to receive it.
Say that again.
As you ask the Holy Spirit, realize that you must learn to receive it. Is it a learning process, or is it just like receiving it? Like, I know we can't physically grasp the Holy Spirit, but could you explain?
I don't think it's a learning process.
This is one of the places that it gets so weird talking to people. This is one of the places that you guys all have to have cracked heads. And you've got to think in a different way. Our problem, one of the problems that we have with the flesh is the flesh wants to exalt itself. And one of the ways that the flesh exalts itself is through knowledge. And from the earliest time, I mean, most of you were homeschooled, or at least a great portion of you were home-teached. But if you're not, you come home from school, and mommy says, what did you learn today? Yeah, nothing. Mom, I'm in public school. I'm in government school. We learned to hate the United States, and it goes on and on. But you go to Sunday school, and you come out, and mommy says, what did you learn in Sunday school? Do you hear what's being said? That is the Greek fleshly mindset. I will learn to receive. I will learn to deal with the Holy Spirit. And it's not about learning. It again, as we say here so often, it's not about information, it's about information. The formation of the Lord Jesus inside us. And so it's not about learning. And here's where it gets difficult to talk about, because it's nebulous. It's hard to explain. Asking, well, maybe it's not that bad. Asking is a process. I am asking. And the point is the process. Often with God, the process is what the whole point is. And now I'm going to say something that almost sounds the opposite of what I've been saying. You have to learn to receive. Now, look at it. It's talking about learning. But that is a formation. That is not, oh, I know how to receive from God. No, it's because I know God, I am able to receive. It's not learning how to receive. It is knowing and trusting Him. Wait a second. This is simply my Heavenly Father. I mean, how exciting would it be? And it's happened to me from time to time. I know it's happened to Mrs. Davis. But to get to a point that when you were so in tune with the Word and with the Holy Spirit and believed so much that when you prayed, you were like Jesus. It's done. It's just simply taken care of. I know I was in His will. I prayed that, and so it's done. I don't need to worry about it anymore. You see that type of confidence with Mary at Cana and with Jesus. And He, what do I have to do with you, woman? Do what He says. She is not concerned about it one bit. Why? She's His mom. but she knew also it's going to be taken care of. She knew that. And that is, in many ways, one of the ways that we need to walk in that process. And it really is, it's not so much learning as it is gaining an understanding of the intimacy of God. Intimacy of God. And then it's not learning. I didn't learn something. I gained trust. And that's a little bit different than learning. And sitting at His feet, believing that you receive, is a whole lot different than I learned to receive. Very difficult. Miss Davis, do you have anything on that? You don't? Okay. Anybody else on this? Sir?
I think basically what you're saying is it's just really a matter of belief. And it's already been done. What's the problem? I don't believe it.
Yeah.
And just by meditation, by spending that time with the Lord, is that He brings about the belief, and then you know it's done.
Yeah. But until we know Him well enough to believe that He believes for us, and it becomes kind of, and you're right, but again, it's the process of me knowing Him. It's not something of, is He able to do it? Well, yeah. The problem is, look at what the verse said. Look what that's, it. Why would Jesus have to say something like He said there in verse 13? If you then, being evil, know how to give gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Why would Jesus have to say something like that? Because I don't believe it. I don't believe God is good. I believe that He was a hard man, reaping where He did not sow, and all of the things that we see in that one parable. That's why. And all the stuff that we've been taught about Him. And it becomes very difficult to receive that. Anyone else? Yes, ma'am.
Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And basically, kind of what Tyler was saying, we don't believe because we're so unnatural. And His Holy Spirit is a gift to us, and basically receiving it by faith, it's going to, the evidence of it is there. Like, he wants to give us the evidence of it, but we're not receiving it in faith.
Yeah.
So I think really it's by, like he says, we need faith. Like,
yeah.
It's faith.
Yeah.
And again, if you want the process,
what would be the process if it's going to be believing in faith? Faith comes from hearing by the word. So, every morning and every afternoon, at least for 2 hours, and then suddenly you're doing commentary, and you're walking over from the dorm, you're walking back from the dorm, you're going for a walk, and you're meditating on God's word the whole time, you are building your faith. You're building your faith to begin to receive that. So the whole thing of I am I is, well, I mean, the point is God. Okay? The point is God in you. That's what we're shooting for. Emmanuel. All of that has to come from belief, and not belief in the naturalism that's all around us and that we're so full of. Did I see another hand over this direction, John?
Yeah, just with receiving and by faith. The evidence that we're receiving by faith is thanksgiving, that confessing that it's already been done. Because we receive it from Him by faith, but then what must flow through us is thanksgiving back to Him for what He has done.
Yeah.
And that's the confession that it's happened. But it's not, we have to work up enough faith. It's just the expression that it has happened.
Right.
And that gets to be so important.
Some stuff with the faith message people, they literally want you to work up enough faith. And there's one point on that I've certainly heard them teach, and we've heard Gabriel Cleeter teach, and is from the Bible over and over. Folks, learn thanksgiving. Before you see, and I'm telling you, it really is true, to pray something and thank God that you've got it when you don't have it goes a long way. There's something that it does inside you, and it really is true. It does something inside you. The giving of thanks. Wait a second, you don't have it. It may not have appeared yet, but I've got it. And when you begin to walk that way and you begin to believe it and receive it, it's a different ballgame altogether. You're walking on a different level then. Very good, Johnny. Thank you. Anyone else?
Everyone, it says the verses before that is everyone who asks receives.
Yeah.
And so
if we read those verses.
For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it shall be open. And it's like
that's
what Johnny says, if you receive it, you thank the Lord for it.
If
I ask, then I receive it, and with thanksgiving.
Yeah. Now, what did that say? That is,
that's there in Luke, Ms. Davis?
Just the verses.
Verses above it, please. If you're not there, turn there.
I'm not, but read it for us, starting with
9 and 10. I want you to listen.
And I say to you, ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be open to you, for everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it shall be open.
Okay. Everyone who asks
receives. Well, does that mean that everybody who asks gets what they want? No. He's giving us the process. When you ask, receive. When you ask, receive. Everyone who asks, receive it. Believe it. Receive it. Oh, thank you. Okay? And that's the way you receive it. It's done. Now, you can't work that up. You can't work that up. But you can help it a lot by thanking and by abiding in the Word. Guess what? Jesus can work it up for you. You don't have to do it. It's when you seek His face, these things will be added. Seek first, these things will be added to you. Thank you, Ms. Davis. Anyone else? Christopher.
Well, receiving, it's not more of an action, but it's more of an attitude change.
And the attitude, it's funny, the attitude will change often with your mouth.
Lord, thank you. What was that? You know, it really is true. I mean, you go, oh. And then what do? You quit thanking. And everyone who keeps asking receives and keeps receiving.
Just the part where it says, whoever knocks, it's going to be open to you. And just had this really neat thought. When we knock on our friend's door, we're expecting that they're hearing and that they're going to open it. And in us, there is already like a rejoicing. We're about to see whoever it is we're going to see. But it's just like, oh, wow. It's kind of a neat picture of what we're talking about.
Yeah. And the good news is that
Jesus is home. Okay. Pretty much all the time, you know. You open the door and he's not, whoa, no. Things, you're in trouble if he's not there. So you can knock with confidence. I mean, you can receive with confidence. The life of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Others? Anyone? Very good. Okay. Let's turn to John. We've looked at this one before and talked about it before, but let's do it again. John 1, verse 33, we hear John the Baptist speaking, and he says, I did not recognize him, but he who sent me to baptize in water said to me, he upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining upon him, this is the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. Interesting. This is the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. Jesus, at this time, received the Holy Spirit for mankind, and then he baptized mankind eventually in the Holy Spirit. It all makes sense if you think about it. Let's do the math, okay, everybody? Jesus, our representative, our representative in blood covenant. And I die in him. I died in Christ. He died, but remember, he was filled with the Holy Spirit, and it remained. Okay, but he died. Yeah, but didn't work out that well. He did not stay dead. God raised him up, and the same Spirit of life that came into him and gave him breath, guess where you are situated? I am in Christ. I'm in him. In. I'm in him. Well, if the Holy Spirit goes into him and I'm inside there, I am going to be baptized, immersed, filled up with the Holy Spirit. Man in Jesus is now immersed in the Holy Spirit. What? Because I'm in Jesus. And he's filled with the Holy Spirit. And I'm up inside there. I'm one little tiny amoeba floating around in Jesus' bloodstream. But because of that, I am surrounded by the and filled, baptized, immersed in the Holy Spirit. Jesus does the baptizing with the Holy Spirit, but it's interesting. The Father, it's the Father who gives the Holy Spirit. I'd never really actually seen that before. It's very clear in Scripture. Father gives the gift. Father is giving the gift, but I'm going to baptize you. Why? Because the gift was given to our representative. You understand? The gift was given to the representative. But he being the representative now turns to us and baptizes us, immerses us in the Holy Spirit. I don't know anywhere where it says that Jesus gives the Holy Spirit. In his name, we can receive the Holy Spirit. Okay? But it is Father that gives the Holy Spirit. Everybody understand? Comments, questions on that one so far? It's just going to start getting just really good, fun stuff here. I mean, that one right there is enough to blow your mind. Yes, ma'am.
Could you say then that Jesus didn't have the jurisdiction to give the Holy Spirit?
Could I say from that?
Yeah.
I think the Bible is saying that. No.
Jesus was under Father, and Jesus continues to be that way. Jesus was accused. He was accused by a bunch of religious people. You make yourself out to be God. You're calling yourself the Son of God. No, he didn't. It's not what he called himself, the Son of God. He said, the Father and I are one. You're making yourself out to be God. He did not say that. He did not say that. And he does not assume this jurisdiction. The gift of the Holy... Wait a second. Everyone stop a second. Take another deep breath. The Holy Spirit is God. I mean, I know it's difficult we talk about it, but you wait a second. He is God. This is God. Jesus is not going to be handing out the Spirit of God. Well, yes, he is. Oh, is he? That's his Father. And the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, the Spirit, the pneuma of God, his breath. He didn't have, I don't believe, the jurisdiction to do that. And you never see him trying to take it. You see him constantly, constantly, only in one position, under. I mean, he is so under. But in his underness is oneness. I and the Father are one. And remember, Jesus, at his water baptism, was when he was baptized in the Holy Spirit. Okay? He was not the one giving the gift. It was Father. So it's Father's gift. Father's gift. Why? Because the Holy Spirit, if you want to put it another way, is Father. But Father couldn't get into us. There was no topos for him. But why? Because we were evil. It's not so much that we were evil. We were owned by the enemy. We were owned. We were enslaved by the devil. We were his legitimate, legal property. Okay? That's who mankind had become. And God doesn't steal. You won't find that one on the books. He doesn't steal. All right. So he's not going to steal us back. He redeemed us. And now we are able to, in some ways, go forward. Let's go forward. Go forward to where he wanted us to be all the time and for what we were created. What was that book that Tozer guy wrote? Man, the what? Dwelling place of God. I know that Mr. Tozer is someone that needs to be watched. You should not read his books, especially the title. The Dwelling Place of God. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. I really believe this, people. I mean, I really do. That's what we were created to be. We were created to be empty without him. And without him, in our emptiness, I'll kill you. I will kill you. And probably enjoy it. But with him truly in me, I'll die for you. A little bit different. I suddenly become a triune being and have life in me and it abundantly. I mentioned this book. I've been reading it slowly. It's a pretty easy read. About this fellow, a Brit. that in World War II was trying to make a getaway with a number of other Brits and people, and they got picked up. Japanese caught them out in the Pacific. And they hauled them off to one of those fun places called a Japanese prison camp. And they participated in, you've probably heard of the very old but very famous movie. It was a book also, Bridge Over the River Kwai. And this guy actually, he and his mates participated in the building of that. And he describes this prison camp of death all around, hideous, horrible stuff going on, and the people dying by just the truckloads every day, diseased, no food almost at all. And then, and this was the other thing. In the camp, they begin, because the Japanese so beat them down and taking away almost all of their humanity, everything. Everything was gone. Everything. And they begin to act that way toward one another. Stealing. It all became about, number one, it became about me. And then two or three guys, separately, and he was one of them, and he was not a Christian, somehow began to, I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit began to fall in that place. And he began to question. And others began to, wait a second, I shouldn't be living like this. And they begin to lay their lives down for others. They begin, he was dying, and they made a special little hut for him so that he would not be in what they called the death house, which is where they took you simply to die from typhoid and starvation and amoebic dysentery and all the other things. They just took your body in there and you just laid there. They might bring you some food every once in a while, but that was it. And the flies were all over you, and this is what the Japanese did to people. And I told you the one story about the man coming in and saying, I want to start taking care of you. I told that story about the... Did I tell that story? Was it just to the guys? I can't remember. Just to the guys? I told it in here. Did everybody? No? Okay. One day, a fellow showed up at his little hut that they had built for him. In fact, right after they built it. He said, he'd never seen him before. He said, I'm here to help you out. And I'm going to bathe you. And the guy had a bucket of clean water and old rags and everything. And as he began to, the guy's laying there, he can't do anything at all. He's lifting him, but he looks on his legs, and his legs are a mass of ulcers. And the guy said, we need to get rid of some of this, pardon, but the pus that was in there. And this fellow began to push on it a little bit, and he was watching, and the guy said, I have no feelings in my legs. This is from, I believe it's typhoid, which is incredibly deadly thing. And that's how far along the disease was. This is end stage stuff. So the guy sat there and patiently went over every ulcer on his legs and came back and did it the next day and the next day and the next day. And the fellow that is writing the book that was supposed to die didn't die. And God began to talk to him. You need to be laying your life down for others. And it kind of became it started to spread. One day he was in his little hut, and in walks this Aussie. And he says, me and some of my mates have been talking, and we want to find out if this stuff is the real The real dingo. The real dingo. He said, we decided, we talked, we think you're the man we need to talk to. Guy didn't hardly know anything about the Bible. But he got over there, and all of a sudden, he's teaching the Bible. And these Aussies are going, right, that's what I'm going to do. Because they realized they were living, understand, they got to the end of themselves. It's funny. Society right now is at the end of itself, but it doesn't see it. People walk around dead, and they don't know it. They're living for their flesh. They're living for self. This whole camp turned upside down. Everybody began laying down their lives for one another. Two or three different times these things happened, but one of them that I do remember, I don't remember again if I told it to you, but a shovel came up missing. I didn't tell that one to you. Shovel came up missing on a work detail. This Japanese went nuts, jumping all over him and everything, screaming and yelling, and he said, I'm going to start killing you. I'm going to beat you to death. No one was moving because they didn't do it. And he gets ready to start the brutality, and this fellow steps forward and says, remember, this would have been a young man your age. And he stepped forward, and I am telling you, he stepped forward, and I believe in the Holy Spirit. I did it. The Japanese guy landed on him, and in front of everyone, beat him and kicked him to death. They went back to the camp, and sure enough, of course, the shovel was there and accounted for. There were like three other different things where that happened, where somebody took the death for somebody else. And they began, by God and by the Holy Spirit, there wasn't anything left. Oh, if we could look at ourselves in the mirror, the spiritual mirror, and realize there's not anything there. We act like it's some kind of big. There's not anything there. You're a living, walking skeleton without God. And we live like, and we have the mark of, if we will see, a beast. We live as animals, as beasts. But God has said, I want to give you my very living breath, the very spirit of me inside you. And that is not you trying to be good or anything else. The falling and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The power to be what? Oh, we're going to go out witnessing. No. Your life says, I've been fleshed out. I breathe a different air. I'm alive. I'm no longer dead. I walk as a living being, not as a beast. And that's what happened in this prison camp. I mean, I was just this one chapter where he really starts talking about it. I've marked the whole chapter. My goodness, that is so powerful on what happened and how they begin to walk with God and how God began to do things in them. And they are just constantly, what can we do to lay down our lives for one another? One guy that was dying, he had... There's a condition that happens sometimes where your bowels begin to grow together. Adhesions is what they call it. And so they become fibrous and they grow together. Well, you're in serious trouble. You're going to be full of poison. And this guy had that disorder, and he knew he had that disorder. Well, he came to this fella, and they wound up talking about truth, and that man... knowing his time, I mean, his time is short. And he'd been walking around depressed and everything. All of a sudden, he went from depressed to happy as he could be. And he took the job nobody wanted anywhere near this job. And that was hand washing all of the rags that came out of the hospital and the death room. Because all they were covered with blood and pus. The smell was it. And every day, he went and gathered them up, and just as happy as he could be, went off to wash them and kept them washed until the day he went home. And he didn't go back to England. or Australia, wherever it was. He went home to his father. Why? He was breathing a different air. There was a different life in him. He had become completed. He sure didn't look complete. He looked like a walking dead man. But when you watched the life of God went and washed filthy, pussy, bloody rags. I say again to you, this is serious business that we are in. It's serious business. It cannot be about self. Ms. Davis? You sure looked like you was going to say something. Whew, boy, we almost ought to stop right there. It's been a heavy book. It's been a good book. Anyone else on this before we go on to the next scripture?
I guess just if the Holy Spirit is really God's Spirit, which is, you know, it's an extension of God, but it's God.
It's God. I mean, you know, we say that so that we can feel comfortable with it.
It's God's Spirit, then, and I'm trying to think outside the box, so nobody start throwing chairs at me. But,
stop!
Then, could you say that, and maybe some people would be like, this is just a dog, no. But, I'm trying to think, then wouldn't Jesus Christ just be,
I mean, moving right along, John 11, no 14, I don't remember. Go ahead.
Like, wouldn't Jesus Christ just be, I mean, he's God in flesh, but it's God himself in flesh. And I don't know how to put it. Do you kind of see what I mean?
I'm hoping in some ways that I don't. But go ahead.
Like, you know how we kind of like put him as the Son of God or someone that's kind of like this, in a lot of ways, you know, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But yet, you know, yes, he was the Son of God. And the scripture is very clear about that.
Amen.
But is the Son of God just an entity of God himself?
Just?
Well, I don't know how to put it.
That was just fun to listen to. Right?
But like, just as like the Holy Spirit is not a separate entity, he's not separate, he's not apart from God, operating
he
on
is
just,
God.
He
is
yeah,
God.
He is God. And I guess what I'm trying to say is Jesus Christ, would that be God manifesting himself and just in the flesh, like as in a different avenue, I guess you could say? Or how, like...
That's what a whole lot of people certainly believe, if that's what you're asking, is that Jesus Christ, was he God in the flesh? A lot of people say that. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, yeah. But like so many times I kind of like, well, he's the Son of God. So he's kind of like a separate, like, he's like the Son of God. So I kind of, because I guess the way I'm trying to say is I never thought of, like, I've always kind of put the Holy Spirit as, yes, he is God, but he's very, very separate.
This is hideous thinking that we've done to ourselves, but go on.
And he's just kind of, yeah. They're separate, but somehow they come together, or they're connected. But now, with just thinking it, wait, this is God's Spirit, you know, that has come out of God, from God. It's not just disconnected from God. It's who he is. Wouldn't that be the same as Jesus Christ? This is God. This is fully God. There's nothing disconnected about it. I don't know how to say it.
I would agree that there is not a disconnection. We've made,
oh, we have made a disconnect between man and God, and also made a disconnect between Jesus and man. I mean, this is what we've done. The disconnect is all over the place. Really is all over the place. And if you... I didn't know where you were going with things. I was dreading the path. Perhaps you were going in some direction that people were really going to start throwing chairs. But the fact is... not really, but... there are some people that have just wanted to throw chairs at you. It has nothing to do with, you know, what you think... theologically, they just, it's on a personal level. What have we done with Jesus? We have made Jesus this big disconnect from man. That is one of the biggest atrocities that we've done, whether it's with the teaching of the Trinity or Jesus' divinity, or whatever it may be, there's this huge disconnect. And we don't see the disconnect between Jesus and His Father. They are one. But the Gnosticism within us will make us, we demand a disconnect between Jesus and man. We just almost demand it. And honestly, we are probably missing it in every way that you can miss it. If you dare to get biblical, if you actually dare to look at what Scripture says, we have missed it completely, I think. Anyway, I'm not fully sure where you were going or what you were trying to do there. But are you? Well, I'm glad we had this little talk. Cleared a few things up. Were you?
I don't know how else to put it. I mean, it just basically, I understand, like, Jesus, there's the passage that speaks of, you know, that whoever doesn't, whatever spirit does not confess Jesus Christ came in the flesh, you know, which, that's humanity. That's the stars, I believe, is probably the word there. So I, you know, understand that, and he became man, but before...
Now, what, it didn't say he became man. He was already man. I don't know that ever said that. But anyway, the man Christ, the man Jesus, go on, what you were saying.
So I guess there wouldn't be, like, the Son of God before He came to earth. I mean, I don't know how, was there, like, you know, because we see different appearances of what we types of Christ, you know, before He actually came or manifested Himself on earth.
Before he actually began living life as a man, I believe we see Jesus, the Son of God, in physical form coming to this earth before He was born of Mary. I believe that. We see that a lot.
So He was, I guess you could say, a being, or He was something before He actually manifested Himself upon this earth. Which... just like the Holy Spirit is God's Spirit, Jesus would have been, He would have been at one, I mean, He would have just been pretty much the same, you know, as God. Only it was when God wanted to manifest Himself upon earth, He chose to do it in that way, or I don't know how to, maybe I'm just like, maybe I'm trying to pull condense too many things in one thing. I don't know.
Right. Anyone else?
Sir?
Basically, it seems to be that the whole idea of putting Christ, one of the big teachings I've heard is, okay, you must believe this, this is the number one priority of all beliefs, and that is that Jesus is God, the divinity of Christ, basically. And it never specifically says that I know of. And just how easily mankind will put Jesus as God and make God and him one, but not Jesus and mankind one. They want to put a segregation between mankind and Christ. And
which is the worst thing you could possibly do. But go on.
Yeah. And this is the whole thing of the steeple, putting God above mankind. To
God is above mankind, but the point is...
Sorry. I don't do these things on purpose usually. Anyway, yeah, but you're, the point is that it's, well, he's up there.
Yeah. And separation, and it's might as well should be pointing down the same thing. If mankind is above God, we put ourselves above God and make us the judges to say God is not worthy to be with us. I am not worthy to be with God. And make myself the judge that I can judge that he is too righteous to look upon me, to deal with me, to anything with me, to have anything to
and certainly identification and
with the flesh, etc. Yeah, go on.
Yeah, and Jesus is basically what we've made him to be is God's person to do the dirty work, to touch us and not to bring us one with God. It's just you go deal with them.
Yeah, in many ways it's true.
And I don't know if I'm making any sense, but basically reading the Josh McDowell book, the first chapter is basically on that. And trying to prove that Jesus is God. And I don't have a problem with that, except that they leave everyone else out. If Jesus is God, and God is God, and man is man, and man can never be one with God, what hope is there?
There is none.
And place that I have to go to, if that is true, is mankind is given that it is available to mankind to become God, to become one, completely one with God. And it says it that we become the sons of God. We become God. And we so often, I want to put myself, I'm man, I can't be God. And even though I will never have that jurisdiction to that God has, of course, but, well, in a way, actually. He gives us that authority to act on his place.
With his
in
power.
In his place.
We are not God, but we are, you are, the Gnostics and the church.
So many, you really can't be, how dare you say such things? You should really be filled with God.
It's basically, you know, the same thing as a body. You know, God is the entire body, but in a way, we can become that splinter that goes into God, and we become part of Him. And that splinter is identified as God, because, do you know, kind of get what I'm saying there? You know, with Christ, we are not the entire body. We are, it says we're members of the body. And therefore, we're members, but we're Christ. You know, like, my hand is my hand, but it's me. It's not something, it's not part of Joe, it's, you know. But, you know, I don't know if I'm...
There is almost no way.
You listen to your two brothers over here just stumbling all over themselves. The reason that is going on is because in many ways, we have been trained about different things that we must believe that when you look at them are not biblical. And so you sit here and both of you guys are trying to connect the dots that are not connected. And because you have to connect them. And I love the way you said it. From earliest time, there is this demand that I believe this particular thing. And if you don't believe that one thing, well, you are completely, you know, off, and you don't get it. I think a lot of us, when you try, you ever listen to somebody try to explain the Trinity? Well, you just did. I mean, you heard two people falling all over themselves, going, "It's got to be," and you don't know where to go. And if you say what you might be thinking, well, you're going to get shot. Jesus never, now please, I mean, hallelujah, it's almost time to stop, but and you will not remember, none of you will remember what we have talked about tonight. The next meeting, it will be, you need to, deep inside your minds, you are forgetting everything that is talked about tonight. Jesus never, ever, ever, not one time did he say he was God. Period. And it makes no sense to look at his behaviors and adopt some of the rather silly, illogical beliefs that we have. And we don't know what to do with them. And so, you know, hey, what do you say? How do you do that? Jesus was filled. How is Jesus, I mean, was he double God once he was baptized with the Holy Spirit? He's twice as good as he was before that time.
I am my son, I'm well pleased. Yeah. The Father spoke from heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased."
And you have Jesus talking to himself. I am my beloved Son, and I'm well pleased.
What do we do with these things? Now, how you're going to deal with it is going to be, you know, on an individual level. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to say anything in any particular direction. I'm not. I'm following my brother's leads over here. And I'm not going to. But this is not Southwestern Baptist Theological Cemetery. This is IMI. And if the Bible slaps me in the face, then I get slapped in the... If it punches me to the ground, beats me to a pulp, and kicks me to the death with its truth, then so be it. And some people would be glad to see that happen. But you have to come. You have to come. No matter what, Jesus Christ, Jesus the Messiah. The one thing, it never says that, I never thought about this one. Nowhere, I mean, the scripture that we love to quote did not say, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is God. Didn't say it. It said that those tongues will confess He is Lord. I am here to tell you He is Lord. He is my Lord. He is my Savior. He's my hero. And He is. And He is Lord. Hallelujah, He is Lord. The things that we have made up about Him to keep Him worse than at arm's length. Worse than at arm's length, and to keep God worse than at arm's length. Rather sick. And they are not biblical. And this is a bad deal. It's after 7. These discussions have happened before here. I was afraid then, I still am. Yes?
God just blew a box up, and it's upsetting.
I can smell a lot of that.
Not just. Back when you were sharing those stories, the verse, I'm going to just paraphrase it, but he does not need a preacher. I think it says that in King James, something like that. And we were, the stories you just told, they didn't have anyone coming to them, telling them, but God Himself, His Spirit. And
eventually they did. They wound up with these guys. It was a small, but those guys, boom!
Exactly. And I'm walking the aisle, saying the right words. It's so in me. Even though I don't agree with that, I still have that in the back of my mind. Something has to be done just so to receive Christ's life. God's life. They are one. And it's like the other verse came to mind. God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. They didn't know what they were receiving, but God brought them so low and spoke. He then could speak to them because they were on His level.
Yes.
And they received. They didn't know what it was. They received it. And we're just talking about the Trinity. And it's just so neat because God showed up there, His Spirit. And I believe Christ showed up there at the same time. The men receiving it, you see Christ there so clearly. Because what do? Once they started receiving God's Spirit, they started being little Christ.
They started acting like Jesus Christ.
Started dying for Him.
Which is, what is Jesus Christ?
Jesus Christ is what a man looks like filled with God. You be quiet.
Not a word out of you.
You can read the scripture, but you shall not comment therein. Thou shalt not speaketh what thou wantest. Thou, only the word.
That's enough. Time's up.
The word that he sent to the sons of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, you yourselves know that these things which took place throughout Judea started from Galilee after the baptism which John proclaimed. You know of Jesus Christ, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we're witnesses of all these things he did both in the land of the Jews and Jerusalem, and they also put him to death by hanging him on the cross. But God raised him up on the third day and granted that he should become visible, not to all the people, but to witnesses who were chosen beforehand by God, that is, to us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he ordered us to preach to the people and solemnly to testify that this is the one who has been appointed by God as judge of the living and the dead. Of him all the prophets bear witness that through his name everyone who believes in him and seeks forgiveness. And the other scripture was, this is amazing when we go, the Son of God, but here he says, being then the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone or an image formed by art and thought of man. Therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to you that all everywhere should repent, because he's fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead.
Hope you weren't listening to those directly from the Bible. What does that Second Peter say? He probably didn't mean to say it. You know how Peter is. Is it Peter I'm looking at? No, what am I thinking? Yeah, this is Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the, if I remember right, epignosis of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine power has granted us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowing of him who called us by his own recognition and excellence. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, in order that by them you might become partakers of divine nature. Jesus Christ is what man looks like when he has given himself over and is completely filled with God. And it says that has been given to mankind through our Lord.